go. We'll get everything straightened out here. Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. Welcome. What a beautiful morning God has given us for the 22nd of December. We'll take about three more months of these, won't we?
Yeah.
So welcome. A few announcements I need to go over before we go on with our worship service. First of all, this bouquet of arrangement of fresh flowers on my left is from Louis Fierst's funeral yesterday and given by the family in memory of him. So I want to say thanks. I don't believe Judy is here or the family today, but their nephew, Roger Peets, and his wife are here, so from Scotland. Thank you for coming, being a part of our service today. Just so we all know, I think we all do, Christmas Eve is Tuesday night, and that program starts at 7 o'clock. Hopefully the parents know what time the children are supposed to be here. Where's Katie at? 6:30. And how about our high schoolers? Same? 6:30. Okay. So it's always a wonderful night. You see where the offerings are going? And the next day, Christmas Day on Wednesday, church is at 10 o'clock in the morning. That day our offering will be given to our care center here in Menno. So we'll be praying about what the Lord might have you give to help our care center. Next Sunday, church is at regular time. We will not have Sunday school classes, though. Church at 10:30. All right? Last thing, I'll just tell you, if you did not get your Salem Spire, if you didn't come in this through the narthex, they are out there, so think about that when you leave and pick your copy up today, okay? The rest of the announcements I'll have you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne with joy and excitement and praises in our hearts. To you, for who you are, God Most High. Thankful, Father, for this season of Christmas as we celebrate Jesus, your birth. Lord Jesus, thank you. Father, for the plan of redemption, of Christ becoming a man, being born in a physical flesh and blood body. Born without sin, born without the sin nature, so that you could bleed for us on that cross. And you did. And so we are here today with great thanksgiving, rejoicing in you. Father, I thank you for all the families gathered in this sanctuary, from all the way to 100 years old down to newborn babies. And Lord, as we sing that one song from life's first cry to final breath, you are the one who commands our destiny, and so you do. And so help us to live for you. We offer ourselves up to you afresh this day, and we ask that you would fill us to overflowing again with the Holy Spirit of God, that we can go forth from this place refreshed and invigorated to live for you in this world that we live in. So thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. David and Jennifer Herbolt will be our Advent readers today.
On this fourth day of Advent, we will continue to learn the Christmas story from the Gospel of John. We have learned that the Christ child born in Bethlehem is the Eternal One and the One Revealed One. He is the rejected one who then became the saving one. Today we will continue one step further.
Our scripture reading today will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Soon a man is coming who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before I did.'" As we light the fourth Advent candle today, let us set our minds upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The acrostic for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light that stepped down into darkness. You are the one who opened our eyes and has let us see this beautiful one, the Christ child, who has become our Redeemer and Deliverer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, David and Jennifer. Our opening hymn will be 249, O Come All Ye Faithful. The hymnal's, of course, there, or if you want to see the words on the screen. Let's stand together, sing this with all of our hearts. 249. Please take a moment, greet those around you today before you're seated. Thank you. Sharing of joys and concerns here this morning, and certainly some of both. I a great joy, unexpected joy, is we have Norma Kirschman with us today in church. She is 100 years old. I want you to know that. Thank you, Mark and Teresa, for bringing her. God bless you. Rudy and Norma gave the land for this church to be built on. A lot of you newer ones probably don't know that. So, and Norma lives in our care center here in town. So praise the Lord. We've got a 100-year-old and a 99-year-old here today. I thought I saw Eugene come in. Maybe not. Okay, maybe not. Anyway, couple other things here. JR and Chandra, Chandra Van Zyl, had her baby. Now, they're here. Yes. A week ago today, Chandra delivered Riley K. Van Zyl. It is Riley, is that correct? Rylin, yeah, I'm sorry. I even have it written down that way. Sorry. Rylin K. Van Zyl, 8.9 pounds, and she is 20 and 3/4 inches long and gets to spend her first Sunday in church. Praise the Lord. Tyler and Jenna Miller's little one, Nora, was in the hospital most of this last week with RSV, but got to come home yesterday. So we just continue to pray for her, for healing. Also, Travis Gramko, he's not with us this morning, but he got to come home. He's full-time in the Navy. He got to come home Friday night, right? So we praise the Lord for that. A couple other things. Gerald Hondel, he went home to heaven last night. And so funeral arrangements are pending, maybe Thursday or Friday. And we'll get to spend his first Christmas in heaven. Yeah, and Louis Fierst as well. Also, Elmer Zabe, he spent all of this last week at McKinnon Hospital. So possibility, well, that he might come to the Mental Care Center this next week. I don't think that's for sure. They're considering that. And the last thing I had... Oh, well, no, one other thing. Amanda Stewart, this would be Diane Herbolt's mom. Christmas Day will be her 90th birthday. She's not here today, but they're having an open house for her in Yankton this afternoon. Other, on a very sad, tragic note here, Alicia Gramko's brother, Jason, who's 35. Get it out here. Had a massive heart attack yesterday, late afternoon. And passed away, so, in Mitchell. Be praying for the family, Cody and Alicia, Gary and Jane, certainly Alicia's mother, Jeanette, right? Yeah. So, anything else over here? Okay, how about over here? Yes, Lori. Yeah. Amen. Wonderful. Lori Smith's brother-in-law, who had a stroke right before Thanksgiving, gets to come home before Christmas, on Christmas Day, and gets to walk. Praise the Lord. You know, on that note, we've had some amazing miracles, too. Leroy Fisher, I heard, Fred, are you here? No. That Fred Schultz saw him this last week, and he's walking. And I saw Ty Balvin Tuesday night at that wrestling match in Freeman, and he just climbed right up the bleachers. So, praise the Lord. He was supposed to be paralyzed on the right side. So, God is working. Yes, is that Callie? Tomorrow? Is Steve Huber's birthday. Happy birthday, Steve. Okay. How about Austin Hondel? I think he's got a birthday coming. Tomorrow? Okay, now Maria, you got to raise your hand next year, okay? Yeah, Joni. Oh, and Grant and Avery Hondel is tomorrow also. Sorry about that, guys. I was thinking yours was, I don't know when. Okay, happy birthday to you. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, certainly much to rejoice about always in you. We do rejoice, and we thank you for these birthdays at this time of year. Always extra special. Probably some anniversaries that maybe weren't mentioned, but we lift up all these and thank you for their lives, Lord. Thank you for these healings. Lori's brother, we just give you praise for that progress with him in his body after the stroke. And Leroy Fisher and Ty Balvin as well. Just incredible things, Lord, when medical science was saying the opposite. And it just goes to say, as we know, you have the final say, Lord. And so we thank you. Thank you for Travis Graham Koch being able to come home from the Navy for Christmas to be with his family. What a special time, Lord. And we lift up all of our troops. I know there's many serving around the world who do not get to come home. But Father, we ask an extra special blessing upon our military as they serve so faithfully, and allow us to enjoy the privileges that we have, the freedoms in this nation, and helping other people groups around the world to enjoy what we know. We thank you for that. Lord, for a new baby, Rylan Kay, and her first Sunday in church, thank you for blessing JR and Chandra and their family. For Tyler and Jenna, we lift up Nora and just ask for your continued healing touch there within her. And we pray for Elmer Zabe too. Lord, be with the family as they make decisions regarding his care. Father, we pray for Marlis Handel, and we pray certainly for Gerald's homegoing, and for Alicia and Cody and the family, Alicia's mom Jeanette, at this unexpected passing of Jason yesterday. Lord, we thank you, for you are the God of all comforts. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, that gives us hope of heaven, assurance of heaven in these times. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, your blessings. We pray for our nation, Lord, here in this Christmas season. We need revival. We need an outpouring of your Spirit upon us. We need healing to this land. And Lord, you can do it, and you are the answer. And our eyes are focused on you in Christ alone. Lord, thank you for other joys, things I may have missed here that were spoken that you heard. Thank you for hearing our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read, there's a couple mistakes in the bulletin that I missed, by the way. This scripture I read last Sunday, and the closing hymn was last Sunday. So we're singing a different closing hymn, if you're wondering. But I want to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Praise the Lord. We have room for Jesus here, plenty. And I hope we have room for him in our hearts and lives. Let's receive our offering and tithe this morning. Cindy and Cheryl are going to play duets today, piano and organ, so thank you for that.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
We give you our highest praise. We give you ourselves, our lives. Lord, we give you the first fruits of all of our increase here. So we present these tithes and these offerings to you as an act of worship. Thank you, Father, for life and health and strength that you give to us every day to even be able to go to work. Thank you for the jobs that you provide, so that we can proclaim the message that Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, that Jesus is Lord of all, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So we give and ask you to multiply these gifts for your kingdom in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to have the bell choir first here. They have two songs they're going to play for us, and they've been working long and hard on this. So thank you, Judy, for directing, and all the ladies for playing. And Jennifer's playing the piano in the background of it. Thank you. you, ladies. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Takes a lot of timing to get all that to go. Thanks for all your work. The children, if you want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Boys and girls, good to see you all here today. And it was so fun to watch part of the practice for Christmas Eve. That's going to be really fun, right? Is that going to be fun? They've been working really hard today. Well, did you like the bells?
Yeah.
Oh, good. My heart was really pounding. Well, what about this bell? Look at this. Oh my gosh, that is really loud. That would have been something if we played that one. But do you know, long, long, long time ago, before there was a newspaper to be print, the town criers would go around the town and they would ring the bell. And they would say, "Hear ye, hear ye." And they would shout the news of the day, because they didn't have newspapers. So they would go around, and people, when they would ring in the bells, people would stop and they would listen and hear the news. Well, speed up time. Do we do that today? No. How do we get news to us? How do we get news?
My old man.
Your old man? Old man. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm sorry. Mailman. I'm still nervous from my heart's still pounding. Okay. Newspaper.
TV.
Internet. Internet, our phones, there's all kinds of way that we get news. Yeah, right. But long ago, before the birth of Jesus, God spoke through a prophet Isaiah, and he told how he would spread the news of the coming of the Messiah. And who's the Messiah?
Jesus.
Yes, he said this. He said, "I will send my messenger to prepare the way. He will be a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way of the coming of the Lord. Clear the road for him." And we find this in Mark chapter 1, verse 3. Now, who was Isaiah talking about? Who was the one that came before Jesus and told people, "Repent," and he baptized them? Who was that?
Jesus.
Who was before Jesus?
John.
John the Baptist. Good job. John the Baptist came. And that was his job. That's what God created him for. He lived in the desert, and he was a little bit different than other people, but he had a mission. And he was popular. And, you know, the people followed him. They followed him, and they listened to him. But he always told them about who?
Jesus.
He said, "Jesus is coming. In fact, he is coming. The one is coming. And I'm not even worthy to tie Jesus' shoes, his sandals. He's much greater than I am. He is going to be the Savior of the world," right? So John, that was his job, to tell everybody about Jesus. And you know what? Our job is that today too. That hasn't finished. God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell everybody that you know about Jesus, those that don't know him. Maybe you guys have some classmates that don't know about Jesus. Maybe you have some friends or neighbors that never heard that God loves them and he'll forgive them through Jesus. And that is the good news. And that's what he wants us to keep doing, right? To keep on telling about the good news about Jesus, that he came to be our Savior, and God loves us so much. All right? Now let's pray, and then Pastor and I have a little gift for you that Jesse and Jennifer are going to help me pass out, all right? So then you also have papers, all right? So you have a gift, and then you have papers. Now these gifts, I don't want you to open them here in church, all right? And it's going to go from kindergarten down. They're going to get one kind of gift. And that's a nativity that you put together when you're at home. And the first grade on up will get the other gift. And it's a drawing thing. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this special time of the year when we are coming to celebrate the birth of Jesus. There are still so many out there, Lord, that don't know him as their Savior. Help us, your boys and girls, your teenagers, your adults, to be your messengers and to share the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so either get your paper first or your gift first.
I'm going to get
okay?
We'll be in the Gospel of John here, chapter 1, as soon as the children get back to their seats. And thank you, Anne, for that. And again, the bell choir. It's such a beautiful time of the year, isn't it? Christmas from the Gospel of John is what we are working on this year. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. I want to say thanks, too, to the Christmas program directors, the Sunday school teachers, and the piano players that have been working so hard for the program on Tuesday night. It takes a lot to put that together, and it's a beautiful evening. So thanks to all of you. Yes, for sure. Let's bow our heads once more in prayer, please. Father, thank you for your word. We love your word. It is our life, Lord, your word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts and how we need your word. Oh, so desperately we need it, Lord. Help us to live according to your word. Forgive us for the times we don't, which we know is often, but by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, you strengthen us to do so. And we ask for that today as we thank you for Jesus, who is the living Word. Lord, I pray and I ask that you would speak through me once again to those gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Our fourth Sunday on this passage here, just a quick review as we're looking at who is this child? Who is this Christ child? And we've saw from the first two verses, he's the eternal one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning of time as we know it, their creation, but certainly before that, we know God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, they have no beginning. They have always been. So when it says in the beginning, we're talking creation there, okay? Two, he's the rejected one. We jumped ahead to verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. They did not know him. Even his own people did not receive him. Third, Jesus is the saving one. That's the good news, verse 12 and 13, right? Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And on those verses go. Last Sunday, we were on that fourth one, that he is the revealed one. In him, Jesus, in him was life. Remember that Greek word? It's Zoe. The very life of God. And that life, Zoe, was the light of men. We have that light, that life in us if we are his children. And it shines in Jesus. The light shines in the darkness. Today, the fifth one, we'll start on this. He is the promised one. The promised one. Verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him, that's John the Baptist, okay, and his testimony, that through him all men might believe. So here in this Christmas story from the Gospel of John, as you know, we like most often to hear from Matthew and Luke, because that gives us all about the virgin birth. It gives the angels proclaiming to the shepherds. It gives the wise men account and all of that. That is so exciting. Maybe John's account isn't quite as exciting, is it? But it is necessary. It's necessary. So enter this Christmas from the Gospel of John comes in none other than John the Baptist right here. So at Christmas, we see two amazing miracles. We have the virgin birth of Christ, the most amazing miracle, which you know, I just tell you again, you got to know this. If you're going to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, you have got to take the virgin birth. Because if Jesus had not been born of the Virgin Mary, he would have been born with sin, just like every one of us are. And he could not have paid for our sin on that cross. It had to be the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So the virgin birth, the miracle. The other miracle is with Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. Zechariah was a priest that served in the temple at that time. They were older in years. Elizabeth was barren. If you'd go to Luke's gospel, we find that detail. It says she was far advanced in years. But guess what? God had a plan for them to have a little baby boy. And she conceived. Remember, Zechariah was in the temple serving there before the Lord in the holy place, and the angel appeared to him and said, your wife is going to have a baby. And he didn't quite believe it. How can this be? She's old and well advanced in years. And the angel said, yes, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, and you are going to name him John. And Zechariah was struggling with that, rightly so. And remember what happened to him when he came out of that holy place? Could not talk. He could not speak. For the entire 9 months of that pregnancy, he could not speak. Until Elizabeth gave birth. And then they were saying, at that time even yet, so what are you going to name him? We should name him after one of the relatives, as they did, as we often do today. He's like motioning, no, he's not speaking, but no. And so they give him a tablet that they had for him to write on, and he wrote John. And when he did that, his tongue was loosed, and he started giving praise to the Lord and prophesying by the Spirit of God. So John the Baptist is just 3 months older than Jesus. We know that as we go through this. Jesus is the promised one. Every book of the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way to Malachi, at one point or another speaks a prophecy of Jesus. Is the name Jesus mentioned? No. As the Messiah, often, and various other terms, but we know it's Jesus. starting already in Genesis chapter 3, right after Adam and Eve fell into sin, ate the fruit of that tree. I'm not to letter A yet. I know some of you do the outline, so just, I'll tell you when I get to letter A, okay? And so, where was I? I was told last week I missed a blank, so that's why I'm saying that today, okay? I try. When God was speaking to Adam and Eve and the serpent Satan after the fall, he pronounced that curse upon the serpent. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. And it goes on, and on your belly you will crawl the days of your life. And then he speaks to Satan. Verse 15, Genesis 3. This is the first promise of the Messiah. And I, God speaking, I will put enmity right here between you, Satan, and the woman. And he's talking ahead all the way to Mary, the Virgin Mary. And between your offspring and hers, and he, that's Jesus, he is going to crush your head, Satan. I love that. I love that verse. Satan, you know what? When Jesus comes on this planet, guess what? He is going to crush your head. And you will bruise his heel. And that both is, of course, talking about the cross. So the first promise there, I'm not going to go all through the books of the Old Testament. I'll go through just a few. In Exodus, Jesus is the Lamb of God without blemish. That is a type of Christ. That they had to sacrifice that. Remember the blood on the doorposts. In Leviticus, Jesus is the high priest. That's the type and shadow. In Numbers, he's the one, Jesus, who was lifted up in the wilderness. If you remember when the children of Israel were there and all the serpents and scorpions came and bit them and stung them poison with poison venom and they were dying. And the Lord told Moses, you need to get a pole. You need to make a serpent. Put it on that pole. Why would a serpent be a type of Christ? Well, that's a whole other deal there too. It was though. He said, you put that serpent on that pole and tell the people if they've been bitten by the poisonous serpents and scorpions and they look to that, they will live. And that's a type of Christ. Healing. There's a hymn. Look and live, based on that verse of scripture. That's Numbers. How about Joshua? Jesus is the commander of the army of the Lord. When they're right there, they've crossed the Jordan River, getting ready to take Jericho. They don't have an army, nothing. And Joshua's getting ready, and who comes before him? Jesus. How's that? I thought he wasn't born for another, from that point, 1,000 years later. He came as the angel of the Lord, and he could do that. He could come and appear as a man, even though he didn't have that physical flesh and blood body yet, not until Bethlehem. So he comes, and Joshua falls before him, and he asks him, whose side are you on? Are you for us or against us? And Jesus says, neither. And let me find the verse. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. That's so cool. And we come all the way down. Now, letter A. Okay. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? What did Jesus say about him? In Malachi chapter 3, this was prophesied what Malachi said, the last book of the Old Testament. He said, God said through Malachi, I'm going to send my messenger ahead of you, and he's going to prepare your way before you. John the Baptist, 400 years before he's born, God's saying, the messenger's going to come to prepare the way for the Messiah. All right? What did Jesus say, Matthew 11, about John the Baptist? I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. See, John the Baptist was still a prophet under the old covenant. Well, I thought we're in the New Testament. We are. But Jesus hadn't been to the cross yet, so they're still living under the old covenant on Jesus' time on the planet Earth, right? That's what Jesus said to him. He was the so John the Baptist was the last prophet under the old covenant. Isaiah prophesied about him 650 years about John the Baptist. He is the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. So how about why? Let her be. Why did he come? Why did he come? This is nothing rocket science here. He came to announce the coming of the Messiah. That's why John the Baptist came. Verse 6 and 7 of our text, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him, John the Baptist, all men might believe. Through his testimony and his message, what was it? It was a message of repentance, right? When he started preaching out in the wilderness, and they thought he was a little cuckoo, he dressed odd, he ate odd, but people went out to hear this message of the prophet John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. In other words, turn. You know what? He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, Jesus. Okay, think about this for a minute. Since when does light need an announcement? Let's think in the natural sense. When would it be that you would have to tell people the light is on? If someone is blind, right? Otherwise, we know the light is on. If someone is blind, you have to tell them the light is on, and if they're totally blind. We see, and still we're like, just the other night before bell choir practice here, Cindy was getting things ready, and I was finishing up something, and I came in. She says, it seems dark in here. And I said, well, it always seems a little that way at night. No, I said, the lights are not all on. I said, I think they are all on. No, come and look. So, well, of course, these whole top ones weren't on. Maybe my vision needs help. I don't know. But if someone is blind, naturally speaking, they have to be told the light is on. So what? The light, John 1:5, we were on last week, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Why? Then and still today, because the world system in which we live, if people do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are blinded spiritually and walking in that spiritual darkness. Corinthians says that the God, little g, which is Satan, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who believe not. So they don't see it. So guess what? We got to tell them the light's on. We have got to tell them. Still today, they need to be told that. Many don't believe it. Many don't want to hear it. Some you'll find, don't talk to me about that. I don't need to hear about that Jesus stuff. That's what you need, good for you. I don't want to hear it. Maybe some have relatives like that. Don't want to hear it. So, what do? Get them madder? Well, you could. Pray for them, number one, because prayer allows the Holy Spirit to start doing his work in their heart and in their mind. But sometimes it does take that. Look at letter C. John knew, John the Baptist knew that he was not that light. And he said it, verse 8 and 9. He himself was not that light. We aren't either, only as Jesus shines through us. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man that was coming into the world. The true light. If God said Jesus is the true light, that must mean there are false lights. And there are all around us. There are. Even though we live in a day and it's always been, you know, I shouldn't say that. It's always been. Look, I tell you, I totally don't get it. Well, I do because it's the world system, right? You know, I didn't catch it all, but this last week on Kelloland in the morning when I'm having breakfast, or maybe it was the evening, doesn't matter. They were all bragging up this certain faith, Baha'i, if you happen to see it. Oh, we're going to feature the Baha'i faith this week because they are bringing in all the religions of the world and mixing it all together, and how wonderful that is. You know, if it was right, it would be wonderful. I'd be all for it. But it's not. From the Old Testament, all through, God told the children of Israel, you are my chosen, treasured possession. What are the Ten Commandments? No other gods before me. Those still hold true today. Through the New Testament, same thing. Paul preached. He goes into the city there of, was it Athens or Corinth? And sees all these false worship temples there, and he's grieved in his heart. He didn't go there and say, oh, yeah, Jesus has come. Yes, let's just mix it all together. We never, never see that throughout the Word of God, ever. You could say amen if you agree there. Thank you. Okay. If not, say, oh, my, don't say that. No. He's the true light. So you hear that. You're going to hear it. We get bombarded with it. So then, I don't know. I don't know what goes through your heart and mind. Maybe you think, oh, I don't know, Pastor Mike. Maybe that verse, John 14:6, really isn't true, because Jesus himself said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And that's what he meant. John 1, going to verse 20. About John the Baptist again. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am, he knew his place. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent. And we have to repent today. You know, the light, people still need to be told the light is on. Here's an email I received this week. It's so cool. It's not long. I want to read it to you. This is from Ali and Veronica Farhadi, if I say the name right. They were here with us probably about 2 years ago in church. Ali Groot was born in Iraq or Iran? Iran, okay. And we had him Sunday morning and evening, if you remember. Just, wow, what a powerful testimony of how God saved him. And he's just living for Christ. His wife, Veronica, is from Russia. They live in Omaha, I think, down in that area. So this was the testimony. I happened to be on the list. He said, dearest saints, as far as we can tell, Veronica, that's his wife, Veronica's mother just got saved in Russia. Moments ago, we just got off the phone with her on Skype, where she believed and professed Christ as her Lord. Right after hearing the Christmas story, you never know when God's going to open the eyes and hearts of someone that you know that maybe has been closed to the gospel of Christ. You just keep praying, 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 praying. They were sharing with her on Skype the Christmas story. And that's what opened her eyes. And she got saved. Today, oh, let's see. Veronica and I are in tears of joy. Today, he has answered your prayers for Elena. And I'm not going to try that last name. I'd have to have Marina tell us. But it seems to us this name is also written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And it is. It is. So we are reflectors. See, we're reflectors of his light. Today we have to be, and he lives in us and shines out through us. And we see that just real quick, two great examples in the Gospels. One is in Mark 5 with the Gadarene demoniac. Remember, he was possessed with that legion of demons up in the cemetery on the hill. And it was on the hill. We saw it when we were over there in Israel. Just fierce chains couldn't even bind him. He had that strength, and he'd cut himself and cry out. Well, Jesus came and cast those evil spirits out of him. And guess what? When Jesus was getting back in the boat on the Sea of Galilee to go across the other side, this guy said, I want to go with you. Yeah, he was totally set free, and Jesus did not let him go, but this is what he said. No, you go home to your family, and you tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy upon you. And from that day came revival in that area, Decapolis of 10 cities. The other is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. She as well came to know Christ that day. And she went home to her village and told all what Jesus had done for her. And many believed because of her testimony. And then later Jesus went to that village and many more came to believe. There's no better really season than Christmas to share our faith, because it's just in people's faces. You cannot get away from it. I always think, as far as the atheists, this is probably their worst time of the year. And you just can't get away from it. So when you're in the stores, say Merry Christmas to people, even if they don't. I dropped some stuff off the other day at a place, and so I was leaving, I said, Merry Christmas. The lady just looked at me. So anyway, that's fine. I got the Merry Christmas out there because that's all about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, again, your plan for our redemption and salvation is incredible. And we love you so much for it. Thank you for being the promised one who has come and who is coming again. We know that. And we praise you for it. Lord, in this season, as we're with family and friends, help us to be sensitive if there's an open door to share about you, just as Ali and Veronica did and saw wonderful results. Give us the courage to do so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn. Before I say that, one announcement somehow I forgot to mention, we are caroling this evening at 5 o'clock. We'll meet at the Care Center for those that would like to join us and sing there and then go to a few other homes, okay? All right, Go Tell It on the Mountain. This is 258. It's wrong in your bulletin. So let's stand and sing this. Now the kids, boy, you guys ought to belt this out with all of your hearts, okay? Let's hear it.
Go tell on the mountain, on earth and hills and everywhere. Go tell on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds stand there watching,
Please receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Let me just have a quick prayer for someone else I should have done in joys and concerns. Lord, I want to lift up Milo Hauk too. He had a procedure this week and pretty much went well, but still some struggles going on. And we just ask for healing and strength to him today and in this week to come, that he can enjoy Christmas, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. We'll see you all on Christmas Eve.